Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. This is Bonnie Kay in the Straight Wives Talk Show. This is a hard-hitting show that discusses the complexity of marriages between straight women to gay men. Each week, my co-hostess Misty Hall and I discuss issues that affect over 4 million women in this country and millions more around the world who find themselves unknowingly married to a gay or bisexual man. So good evening, Misty. How are you?
Good evening, Bonnie. I'm doing pretty good. How are you tonight?
I'm doing good. I just watched the Giants win in the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I can say much about it, but at least
I don't know
I
much
know
about
that,
it.
But I know they won.
Mm-hmm.
I knew a lot of people were watching it, and I saw Madonna singing. So, and she was fully covered, which was really interesting.
It was. I did see that part. I did tune in for halftime, I have to admit. Which is
yeah,
the only
that's
thing
a big draw.
I didn't even know who was playing.
But I do want to mention, if we have any callers out there who would like to call in and talk to us tonight, I'd like to give you our guest call-in number. So get your pencils ready, and it's area code 646-716-4893. I'll repeat that again. It's area code 646-716-4893. And Misty and I welcome your comments and your questions. We're very happy to answer them for you. And I just wanted to mention before we begin this evening a few little announcements. I wanted to remind our listeners that we're having a get-together in Texas in 4 weeks from now. And that will be on March 3rd and 4th. That's a weekend in Houston, Texas. And it's going to be an extremely dynamic weekend. We're going to have Patsy Ray with us, and also Susan will be with us, and Wendy from Wendy's List will be with us, and Debbie from Florida will be with us for our minority women. You know, we're just going to have a really great weekend. So if you're interested in joining us, you can write to me at bonk@aol.com, and I'll be very happy to send you the information. Also, I would like to mention that I'm getting ready to start a UK chat for women who are in the United Kingdom, only because the time difference is so great. You're 5 hours ahead of our time, so we will be starting one that will be held on Sunday evenings at 9 o'clock your time, and hopefully we'll have a really good support network there. We have a number of women who are already joining us for that, and I'm hoping to find the kind of support that you need. Also, there are some live groups that are also in the United Kingdom, run by Janice, and I'll be happy to send you information if you're looking for that. And also, we'll be restarting very shortly our support group from Australia. So we have a number of women who are interested in participating with that. So that's some of the news for tonight. And Misty, what's new in your world? Anything?
Wow. Not that much. A lot of stuff going on for you. It sounds like you've been busy. Just getting through the winter, enjoying every moment of it in Florida while the weather is still nice and cool, and dreading the summer. The summer will be it's already making brief appearances because it's been very warm some days. But that's about it. Just enjoying life to the fullest.
You know what? Every day I get up, I look outside, and I am so happy. We are having the best winter ever here in Philadelphia. I am just so grateful that it's been warm almost every day in the 40s, 50s, and even 60s. No snow. I hate to say a bad word because then sometimes, you know, you have to face it. But we haven't had any, and it's already, you know, going into the second week in February. So
wow.
I'm really excited about that.
Yeah,
and
it's a pretty mild winter.
Yeah, we've been really lucky here.
Mm-hmm.
And talking about that, next Sunday will be our Valentine's edition where Misty and I will be talking to women and talking about how to overcome those Valentine blues by redirecting your Valentine's Day into different directions, because I know that's a really hard time for many of our women who are going through gay husband recovery. So we'll be giving you some clues on how you can get through that time and do it in a good way and feel positive about yourself. And that's what this is all about. And we want to thank our listeners. You know, I get letters every week from those of you who are out there saying how this show is something that you're hanging on to because it really helps you as far as feeling connected to our support system. And if you're not receiving my newsletters, please write to me at bonkaye@aol.com and ask for them, and I'll be happy to send you all my back issues as well as catch you up for the future ones. So, Misty, tonight we were speaking a little bit earlier, you and I, about women who need proof. And I think this is so frustrating for so many women because, you know, I always say, what do you need to make you feel like you the proof? You know, some women just have a gut feeling and that's good enough to go on. But other women, it can be smacking them right in the face. And, you know, we talk about red flags a lot. But, you know, I don't know how many red flags some women need to actually accept the truth. So why do you think that is, Misty, as a therapist?
Wow. As a therapist, I think it's for many reasons. I think the culture plays in it, you know, like how you were brought up, what's your culture values, what's your family values, what's your family system like that you grew up in. That has a lot to do with it. What are your spiritual and or religious values or beliefs? That plays a tremendous role. And another thing that plays a tremendous role is family. What pressures does your family put on you, like your parents, your in-laws? Oftentimes, these marriages look great from the outside. You know, oftentimes the gay husband looks pristine, meaning he's like the husband that does it all sometimes in a lot of these marriages. And some women could even say, oh, you're so lucky, you know, and it looks very envious from the outside world at times. So these women get so many pressures of everything on the outside, but on the inside they know this just isn't it. They know that there's things that are wrong. They know that things are horrible. And they keep, I think, for myself, I kept living for the hope that tomorrow was going to be better. If I tried harder, tomorrow would be better. If I changed more, tomorrow would be better. Well, my tomorrow never came. And that's the sad part of these marriages. Your tomorrow is not going to come. So I tell women, and this sounds so harsh, you know, you can live to be 85 and find your proof that you want. Or do you want to live the happy, beautiful life you deserve now? Because in your gut, you pretty much know something's not right. And like you and I have talked about, Bonnie, I've never had a woman falsely accuse her husband of being gay. Never. In the years and the many women I've worked with, never have I had a woman falsely accuse her husband being gay. It's just that gut intuition and, you know, how much proof do you need? And the next question to that is how much proof are you willing to see? Because oftentimes it's right there in front of you. And it's not easy to find that, to see that proof. So I just tell women, you know, really, really need some good professional help or a very, very, very supportive and understanding friend. Because this isn't even anything easy to go through. It really is not easy. It seems so cut and dried and so easy, and it's not. It really isn't. There's so many things involved with, you know, with your family system, your own value system. And, you know, a lot of our women, when they marry, they tell us, you know, the women I've worked with, and I'm sure the women you've worked with, Bonnie, they say, you know, when I married this person, I married for life. I considered marriage sacred. So putting all those things into play, you know, we've put all these expectations around what marriage should be. And the marriage just isn't that. And we just keep trying harder and harder and harder and harder. It doesn't work. And then we get so wrapped up into, you know, if we have children, we get wrapped up into our children. That may give us a little bit of a life. But, you know, on the inside, we're just screaming. Is this all there is to it? Is this what marriage is? And it's horrible. It's a horrible thing to go through alone and trying to find understanding when you know something's not right. You know in your gut that you think that your spouse may be gay. And then you feel guilty usually for even thinking and having those thoughts. It's just, it's not easy. I can't even begin to explain the complication of it. But for a whole host of different reasons, I think in our background, you know, how we've been brought up, what's been instilled in us from our parents, our grandparents, what's been instilled in us religiously or spiritually, and what values have we subscribed to as we grew up and as we've thrown over. What values do we hold true and to be? So, you know, all those things influence, you know, what we do to stay or what we will accept. And it's not easy. There's not an easy answer there. There really isn't, because there's so many things that come into play. But the answer that you and I do know is it's just so difficult. And these marriages is when you're trying to live an authentic, good, healthy life.
Let me ask you this question.
Not possible.
Let me ask you your opinion of this. I got a letter this week, and I'm not going to tell you how I responded to it. I'd like to see what you say.
Okay.
And I think it's part of our need to try to alert women to taking a good look of what their marriage is really about. And this letter was from a man, and he's corresponded with me before. And he wrote, "Dear Bonnie, I just finished reading some of your articles on your website. I can't believe how close you come to hitting the nail on the head. Sometimes when I read your info, I feel as if you think I am a complete selfish ass. It's almost like you and I are natural enemies. I really want you to understand me. I don't live for this lie for me. I swear to God, I don't. I'm not doing it to spare me any embarrassment. I love, I love my wife with all my heart. She is my soulmate. I have never cheated on her either, whether you believe that or not. I got married knowing something was different with me, but thought it would pass. I loved her when I married her and do more even today, and that will never change. I cannot imagine living my life without her not being part of it. I don't want her to have to raise our children alone. I don't want to embarrass her or them. You always talk about doing the right thing, but what if it's detrimental to her? I don't want her to hurt. I don't want her to be alone. Take away the gay and I'm a very good husband. Sex is a challenge with me, but I love holding her, talking with her, listening to her, etc. What if some wives are okay with that? What if they're satisfied with having a loving husband who doesn't cheat? What if deep down they know, but they don't want to accept it on purpose? I'm just saying, sometimes it seems as if you're trying to speak for all women. I cannot be sure my wife won't harm herself. No one is perfect. Although I am gay, I am a caring, compassionate, hardworking husband who supports his family. If I were straight and the greatest lover in the world, maybe I'd be a whore-chasing alcoholic. Maybe I wouldn't be such a good listener. Bonnie, you are the professional, and I can only speak for myself. I love my wife more than anything. I never chose to be this way. Matter of fact, I absolutely hate being gay. I do feel as if I'm closer to coming out than I was a couple years ago when we talked. Just please understand that I'm trying to hold my marriage together for her and my children. It's not for me. I would certainly miss life as it is, but I would be okay. I could just remain part of their lives in some sort of way. Thank you so much for the website. I think you have such great information." So that was his letter to me.
Wow.
And
yeah.
How would you respond to that?
Well, that's a letter I think that many of the marriages you and I have dealt with, most of the husbands could start out writing that letter. As you and I have discussed on here before, I don't think men even, and I'm very open that I came from a very, very abusive marriage. In the beginning, I'll even have to say that about my now ex-husband, I think he thought it would work. I think he thought he was in love with me, that it would work. So, you know, back to this guy, it's difficult because being gay, it sounds like, you know, he's making the assumption that he's being bad, wrong, or whatever. I mean, it doesn't make him a bad person because he's gay. What I would wish for everyone is that they can truly live an authentic life. And being authentic would be being true to himself, being true to his wife. I think his wife has a right to know. I think she has a right to make that decision, because at this point in time, he's making the decision for her and for him. He knows them. He knows her much better than I do. I'm just listening to the letter you just wrote. But still, once again, I think that the wife should have the freedom to choose if she wants to stay. You and I have worked with women that when they start working with me, they say, "I am going to stay. I have no intention of leaving." And I do work with that woman, because it's not, I can't make up her mind for her. It's not my place to. I just tell people, when you choose that, that's the hardest decision to make, in my opinion. That's my opinion. So no one can, you know, I can't tell someone what to do, but I will say I do believe it's her decision, not his, because right now he's making her decision. Now, does he need to prepare? Sounds like he does. He's not ready yet. But my question is, when he's ready, you know, does he have support in place for her? Because she's going to need that support. It's so difficult to find these types of things out. It really is. My hat goes off to him. He's saying he hasn't done anything. I think that's wonderful. You and I both know that that's rare that that happens. Most men do that on the side, which is very devastating when the wife finds out. So my suggestion would be, you know, if you want for them both to be able to live an authentic life and to find a safe way to disclose the information and have support in place, because I think she has a right to make up her mind whether she wants to live in it with him and try to make a go, or she wants to leave.
I'll tell you what I wrote him back and see if you agree with it, okay?
Okay.
I said, please don't misunderstand me. If your wife knows you are gay and loves you and doesn't care, that's fine. I'm sure some women wouldn't mind staying in a minimally sexual marriage in return for the security and love of a husband. If they are happy and fulfilled in their own lives, that's fine. Those are not usually the women who contact me. I know there must be some out there, but I have not worked with them. The women who come to me are women who don't want to stay in their marriage. Most of their husbands are not like you. Also, I believe that if you tell me you never cheated, and I believe you if you tell me you never cheated. Almost every gay man has said otherwise, but I do believe it from you. That being said, don't ever believe that your wife feels total satisfaction in the marriage, no matter how much you tell her you love her and hug or hold her. She knows that there's something not right, and she'll be internalizing it that it is her. Also, if you have so much faith in the marriage, don't you think it would matter to her? Are you missing something that maybe she is thinking about that wouldn't make her happy? And I said, if you have the perfect marriage, more or less, maybe she would overlook it, would she? So, you know, the thing is that I really believe that from these men's perspectives, they feel that they're doing their best,
mm-hmm.
and they're trying to make their wife happy in every possible way, and sex isn't mm-hmm. such a big deal. And I do know, like from reading so many stories, there are men who haven't necessarily physically cheated. But my point is, and I'm going to read a little story in a few minutes from our Over the Cliff book. To me, and maybe you disagree, Misty, so you can be honest with me, even if you haven't physically cheated, if, as in some of these stories, men are saying the only thing that arouses them, you know, are fantasies of men, and that even if they're having sex with their wives, they're fantasizing about men when they're having an orgasm, that they can't get excited unless they do that. I mean, to me, even if you're not out there doing it, it's still gay. What do you think?
Well, I think it's still a form of cheating, and I'll go back to my background. I'm a marriage and family therapist, but I would hold that standard true for a straight couple as well. If a man is sitting there fantasizing about another woman instead of his wife that he's with, that's a form of cheating. It's a form of emotional cheating, in my opinion. So I think it is a form of cheating. That's my opinion. It's opinion. So, I mean, everyone's entitled to, you know, what they believe on that. So, yes, I see what you're saying. That's a form of, I think, cheating. It's just, you know, when you're not truly who you are and truly love who you're with, how do you expect that marriage to grow and become and blossom what it truly can be?
Yeah, I think that men keep missing the point, a lot of the gay married men. And mm-hmm. I really do believe that they're really confused in many ways, because they really confuse, like, lifestyle with sexuality and who you are. And many men are not comfortable living what they call the gay lifestyle. I'm not quite sure what that gay lifestyle means, that you have to march in gay parades. Does it mean that you have to be out with your partner? I mean, I know gay men who are living very healthy, you know, good lives with partners that don't feel the need to have to announce to everybody they're gay. You know, so it's a matter, they're not comfortable with it, but at least, you know, they're not trying to bring somebody else into it to make them feel that they're not gay.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not quite sure, like I said, when these guys, you know, they're really focusing on, well, you know, I'm the best husband that my wife could ask for except for this one little thing. But I don't think they understand that one little thing, how important it
is. It's huge, because it's not who, they're not being, see, I'm all for authenticity. Now, you hear me say that a lot. I'm all for, because I'm truly becoming who I am, and I think we evolve. You know, as we grow older, we become wiser, we become more of who we're truly meant to be. Every day, I'm a closer step to who I'm truly meant to be. And I want to share my life with someone that's doing the same thing, that is truly who he's meant to be each day, closer and closer to that greatness, to that magnificence. I don't want to be with someone that is living a lie of who they are.
Well, it's not even so much of living the lie as what gay is. I mean, gay by nature is that you're attracted to the same sex.
Right.
And you're not attracted to your wife. You know, if you're a gay man,
right.
That doesn't mean you don't love her. It doesn't mean that you don't think she's the
right.
most wonderful woman in the world, but you don't want her.
Right, and I think it's just you're cheating yourself along with the person you're with. It's not just about the other person. I mean, it's cheating. It's lying to yourself and cheating yourself of who you are and who you can become.
And even that I can accept, because some men can never accept it and they don't want to be gay and they're really fighting it at every turn. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, I do sympathize with that, but not to the point where they don't understand that while they're fighting it, their wives are feeling the rejection. You know, just because you live with a woman and you support her and you're a good family man and you're good with the children, I mean, gay men can do the same thing. You don't have to be straight to have all those qualities. You know,
mm-hmm.
there are wonderful gay fathers that are out there. But the
Absolutely.
Point is that you can't think that you're being the best husband you can be when you're a gay man and you can't fulfill a straight woman's sexual needs. Women need passionate sex. I mean, that's just part of life. You know, unless there's something really wrong with them, unless, you know, they're broken women also. And that's, you know, the case in some women's lives. You know, they've had sexual abuse, so they may have sexual issues. But for the most part, most of the women that you and I both deal with, you know, they're missing that within their own relationships. And that really takes away from their sexual esteem and
mm-hmm.
also from feeling as if they are a woman. Wouldn't you say so? How did it affect you, Misty?
How did the marriage affect me?
No,
oh my
you know, the whole sexual aspect.
The sexual aspect?
Uh-huh.
It devastated me. I was told and given the message constantly that I wasn't good enough and I wasn't someone to be desired.
Mm-hmm.
So what did it do to me? Oh, it did a lot to me. I mean, I completely lost all sense of, like, the importance of femininity. That's so important. Masculinity is very important to a man, and femininity is very important to a woman. And I just completely lost sense of that and tried to tell myself, well, it's not important. You know, I was falling into the trap of trying to make a marriage work that was so broken. And I was constantly given the message that sex was not an important part of a good relationship. Well, I'm here to tell you, sex is a very important part of a healthy relationship. And it's needed for both. It's needed for the male and for the female. I mean, both need to feel desired. Both need to feel wanted. Both need to feel a sense of being who they are and comfortable in their own skin. The other partner should help assist in that and appreciate that person for who they are.
Misty, what about men? What about gay men who use this as their justification? They'll say that, well, you take a look at straight people and how many of them are having sex after being together 10 years or 15 years. So they say, you know, a lot of them aren't having sex anymore, so what's the difference?
Well, the difference is, I'll say this with any couple. Any healthy couple should be having sex. We know that at any age you're at, you may have to modify it a bit. At any age you're at, you should be having a sexually healthy relationship, bottom line. And when you start comparing yourself to others, you know, possibly, this could be horrible, but possibly they're trying to compare themselves to a friend, a couple of those that may be a friend, possibly one of them are having an affair. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
I feel that a healthy couple should also be healthy sexually, meaning that they should be having some type of sexual lifestyle together with each other. And each person should feel desired. Each person should be wanted. And it's not all about sex. It's about everything that comes together. Because I guess when a lot of people listen to this, as I was told during my marriage, oh, everything is about sex. It's all about sex. It's not about sex. The sex is very important
in
a healthy relationship.
Absolutely, because that seals the deal, as I like to say, you know, between two people.
Mm-hmm.
It's a way to express love for each other in a physically
Absolutely.
Healthy way.
Mm-hmm.
And it really, like my boyfriend always says to me, it's the way that I show you how much I love you. You know, I want you.
Absolutely. It's not something you share with everyone. It's something that you share, that you're reserving for that person that you're in a relationship with. You don't share it with everyone else. It's something special. It's something sacred. You know, it's something that you want to be with that person. So you're sharing it with them. You're giving yourself, all of yourself, to that person. It's like a gift. That's the way I see it.
And
when
I think
you look at it like that.
The difference between living with, you know, a husband or a boyfriend or a lover versus your
mm-hmm.
brother.
Hey,
I mean, you can live
yes.
with your brother and still have a great relationship, and he can be your
mm-hmm.
best friend or cousin,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right. I don't want to be married to a roommate.
Right.
I want to be married
exactly.
to my best friend and my lover.
Exactly.
Or be in a relationship with my best friend and my lover. You know, whatever it is. I mean, that person needs to be all of that.
I know, and I think that's what women have to really, you know, understand what the difference is, and not to listen to all those messages, well, you're too needy and sex isn't a big deal, and why are you making such a big deal out of it? Because it is a big deal.
Absolutely. And it's a big deal.
It
it's
is.
It's an important part of a relationship.
I agree
mm-hmm.
with you. I mean, if you're going, and I think that's the first clue that women have to look at. When you have a marriage and you're not having sex and hardly ever having sex, and, you know, you have to keep asking for it or looking for it or imagining it or wanting it, and your husband's not going to be doing it with you, and especially if you're, you know, younger, in your 30s or your 40s or even 50s, then there's a problem. I mean, that has to be your first sign that, you know, that's your first red flag. Why doesn't my husband want to have sex with me? I mean, men want sex.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think that's a pretty established standard right now that most
mm-hmm.
people will agree on, that no matter
mm-hmm.
what your sexuality is, men want sex.
Mm-hmm.
And especially if you have sex available to you. I mean, it's not like you have to go out looking for it now. Look how many men go to bars and clubs and every place else looking to have sex. Now you have a woman who loves you and who wants to have sex, and you don't want to have it? I mean, there's something really wrong with that. And yet women just don't want to see that as necessarily as proof. You know, we talk about...
Are too quick to write it off as being important. That sex is important. I think too quick to write it off and say, okay, well, you know, that's not the only part of the relationship. Because I think we're fed that through where, you know, our gay partners sometimes telling us that, you know, the sexual part of the relationship is not important.
Mm-hmm. And after a while, I think women start believing that.
Mm-hmm. I believe it.
And I think a lot of times the church really, you know, plays into that.
Mm-hmm.
We've had women who have told us, the church told them, well, you have to pray on it, or not everybody's the same, or maybe you're doing something wrong. You know, once again, and you know, passing back to the woman for the responsibility of that, when
yeah.
it has nothing to do with that.
Yeah, I agree.
And although I am sympathetic, once again, to men who are in a situation where they don't want to be gay, they're hoping that marriage will be their way out. They think that we can fix them or fix their problem, and we can't. So then they just become more resentful of us. I mean, it's just amazing how that turns around.
Mm-hmm.
That men who marry you with love and affection and for hopes for living together for the rest of your lives and for happily ever after, all of a sudden when they realize that you don't fix them and you can't fix them, you know, you become the person who's trapping them into a situation that they don't want to be in.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the part that always drives me crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they put us in a position, and then when we, you know, then they blame us that they're in that position.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you know, these are things that women need to look at, but I would just like to talk for a moment about the book that Doug Dittmer has out that I co-authored. Doug was really responsible for the majority of this book because he did the interviews with 16 different men. And as I've told, you know, our audience in the past, that the whole purpose of this book was to give encouragement to men who are in a situation to help them with coming out to their wives and why their lives would be better if they did it. You know, to kind of be a guidebook for them because there's nothing out there on why you should tell your wife or how you should tell your wife.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, as things ended up, you know, it's just such a great guide for women to try to understand what these men are thinking. So there's a couple stories here I'd like to share tonight. And in the book, you know, once again, it's called Over the Cliff, Gay Husbands and Straight Marriages. It's available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, any outlet. You can just go to my site under BonnieKBooks.com and find this book. I think this is the most valuable book because it really shares the way that men think. But this one's TJ's story, and it says, TJ first contacted us in January 2010. At the time, he indicated that his same-sex attractions were increasing as time went by. It is now 15 months later, and TJ is still married, and I asked him to share his perspective. He said, I'm 44. I've been married for 17 years with 3 kids. I have a very good relationship with my kids. My marriage, however, is another story. Counting dating, I have been with my wife for 20 years. It has been a good partnership, but as time has gone on, it has not really been what a marriage should be. We really didn't have a lot in common to start with, but we drifted apart emotionally over the years. We love and respect each other, but we are not in love with each other. We basically stopped sleeping together a while back. The only people I had ever been attracted to were women. I never saw men who I felt physically attracted to, never. That's why I've never pursued men for sex. But that was probably in contrast to my other reality. Since puberty, I knew I had regular homosexual fantasies. I get turned on by watching gay porn, reading gay erotica, etc. I also enjoy lesbian erotica and have had fantasies about my wife and lesbians. When I masturbate, they have always been just about exclusively homosexual in nature. With sex, I really never have fantasized about women unless it's a woman who is dominant towards me. And many times in them, she is either forcing me to cross-dress or forcing me to submit to gay sex acts. While I also have many powerful orgasms fantasizing about being a sex slave to a guy, I also have no trouble just fantasizing about consensual sex with men. I always just thought it was a fantasy life because I have never actually pursued actual sex with gay men. A while back, I was flipping through a book at Barnes & Noble called Outing Yourself, and there was a couple of lines in there from some psychologists. One said that people who have homosexual fantasies have had them for a long time, even if they haven't acted on them, are gay. The other stated the same thing, saying that people like that are your true homosexuals. It hit me right at me. I'm not saying they were correct, but they are describing my life experience. I did an exercise in the book at home. When I was alone, I got in front of a mirror and said some things to myself. First, I made statements like, I, TJ, am heterosexual. I enjoy sex with women. I am sexually attracted to women. Things like that. Nothing. Then I stated other things. I, TJ, am gay. I am sexually attracted to men. I want to have sex with men. I am a homosexual. My body definitely reacted to that. I had an erection. My fantasies started to change. I have had regular fantasies lately about coming out to my wife, joining some gay organizations, meeting a guy who I fall in love with, and we have a great life together as a committed gay couple. I seem to be embracing these a lot now. Before, it was always just anonymous gay sex with faceless strangers. A couple of weeks ago, after playing b-ball at my health club, I went to take a shower. I saw a guy in the shower who was soaping himself up. I couldn't help but glancing over at him. I could tell that he's probably pretty well hung. I started fantasizing about him right in the shower. I had to quickly get my mind off of him. But as soon as I got home, I masturbated thinking about him. I've masturbated several times since with him on my erotic mind. I'm going into midlife now. My marriage has become stale, and my homosexual fantasies have really increased. To be truthful, I'm masturbating about twice a day now. I find thoughts of all things homosexual constantly on my mind. I go to sites that deal with homosexuality all of the time. Not necessarily sexual websites, but sites that are informative. I just don't know what to make of all of this. I still find women attractive. Whenever I orgasm, the thoughts leave me, and I convince myself that I am straight. I always enjoyed sex with my wife. She could easily turn me on, but often I would orgasm while fantasizing that she was a guy or that she was a man and I was the woman. Could I actually be straight and all of this is a fantasy? I mean, when I see Faith Hill on SNF video, I'm almost mesmerized by her. So, later on, Doug asked him the question, was sexual activity with your wife satisfying? Did you have performance issues, or did it become something you wanted to avoid? He said, I did enjoy sex with my wife, but would usually fantasize about guys during it. And another question he asked, how did you eventually come out to your wife? And he said that she had suspected it after she found a gay website on my computer. I originally denied I was gay. Recently, I went into therapy. I broke down and admitted to the therapist that I am gay. I finally got the courage to tell my wife that she was right. I am a homosexual. And Doug said, how does your wife react when the truth was learned? He said, not really surprised. Our marriage hasn't been good for a long time, so not that much outrage. And, you know, that was what he was talking about. But first of all, you know, the things that, once again, I don't think he understands is that when he says that our marriage had gone stale, you know, once again, it's putting the blame back on the woman, which I don't believe that has anything to do with this whole issue. Do you?
No. No, I think that, no, not at all. I think he was trying to come to terms more with who he was, not that marriage had gone stale. And, I, you know, that's disturbing to me when I hear that, because we hear that often. And that being said, a lot of times the woman or the straight wife blames themselves and internalizes it more. Wow, if I would have done this or looked like this or been like this, my husband wouldn't be gay, which I don't think that's the case at all. I think the case is that the gay man is trying to come at terms with more of who he is.
No, I just think this is where they kind of miss the point that, you know, it's not, their wives would be probably totally different if they had been a straight husband.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't understand this. You know, they think they're a good husband, and just because they're gay, you know, that's not the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where I think these men just don't get it. There's more to being a good husband than being loving to your children, holding your wife's hands, and bringing home some money. I mean, that's not what being a husband, a good husband's about. I mean, those are the expected standards. It's the things that you don't do that are also expected that, you know, creates the problems, because there's a lot more to it than just, you know, being there or going out or having or performing sex when you don't really want to anyway. You know, I just think that these guys keep missing it. What do you think?
I agree. I think it's more of him. I think it's less of the marriage becoming stale and more of him truly becoming more comfortable with who he really is.
And, you know, sometimes that happens and a lot of times it doesn't. You know, I think that we've understood from a long time ago from the guys who come on our show last week with Angelo, and we'll be having, you know, other men come on our show in the upcoming months, you know, that it is such a struggle for them. And I certainly do understand that. And I think both of us are extremely sympathetic to the struggles that gay men have. You know,
absolutely.
They just are really lost in this world, you know, because of the rejection that they suffer, because of the persecution that they face. Mm-hmm. I mean, all of these things, you know, help diminish their own sense of self-esteem. And right. I'm not quite sure why some men are able to just say, you know, I'm proud of what I am, and other men are just saying all the time, I'm so embarrassed by what I am and I don't want to be it.
And they hate, so many of them, you know, ones that I've worked with, is they hate who they are. And I wish that wasn't so for anyone. You know, I can't imagine how hard it is, because, you know, it's not an easy world out there to be gay. We know it's not. It's just not easy. And in this day and time may be a little better, but it's not easy. I mean, there's obstacles faced every day, everywhere, by a gay man, or a lesbian woman anywhere in this country every day. And it's not easy. And it's just, I wish there could be more peace within in that person of who they are,
mm-hmm.
you know, and being more, you know, proud of who they are and having that sense of self-worth of who they are. And that would be wonderful. You know, everyone needs to experience that.
And that's why I say women are cheating themselves by accepting this kind of behavior. You know, they know something's wrong. They know something's off. And sometimes they know what it is. And yet, you know, they'll put on blinders to pretend that it's not there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just always amazed by the questions I get from women, could my husband possibly be gay? And I say to them, if you weren't in this marriage, if it was your daughter in the marriage or a sister in this marriage, would you tell them to stay in this marriage?
Mm-hmm.
And no one has ever said yes.
No.
I ask that question to everyone who writes to me who's not sure what they should do. I say, would you want someone you love to be in your marriage? And the answer is always no.
Mm-hmm.
And yet that doesn't seem to be enough for some women.
I know.
I mean, I know that divorce is very scary, and especially when you have children and you have to be on your own. And I think that most of our women at some point are really beaten down anyway, and they lack the self-confidence to stand up for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you live in a marriage where you don't have that kind of emotional support or that kind of love and support, or your husband, who thinks he's a good husband, is passive-aggressive or controlling because he has no control in his own life or over his sexuality, you know, that takes away whatever self-confidence you have and your ability to make a decision. And then there's, you know, a lot of gay married men who are, as I call it, gay-lighting their wives, making them think they're crazy to avoid
mm-hmm.
having them know the truth. And, you know, that takes away so much for them. So that's why I think these marriages, like any other kind of marriage that deals with, you know, any kind of abuse, and I don't mean it has to be physical, but if it is physical or if it's emotional or if it's mental abuse, you know, you do lose who you are, and it's very easy to fall into a dark hole and not be able to get up. Do you agree with that?
It is. It's very easy. It's very easy to fall into that. Well, you know, it's like I say, you don't lose yourself overnight. Bit by bit, piece by piece, you lose who you are. And every day you lose who you are, it adds up. That little piece adds up. And
mm-hmm.
it's harder and harder to believe in yourself. It's harder and harder to feel like you're deserving of a wonderful life. It truly is. Because each day so much has been taken away of who you are. Because you're becoming someone else. You're becoming someone you don't recognize. Or you're becoming so empty on the inside. You don't even know who you are anymore.
And then you're becoming the world's best detective. So many of our women just spend their time
mm-hmm.
seeking out evidence, which isn't always easy to get or to obtain.
Mm-hmm.
Although I do tell women that if you really want proof, you can find it. You just have to be more clever, you know, than he is. And
mm-hmm.
some of these guys are great at erasing their computer history or, you know, trying to make you feel like you don't know what you're talking about. Or I don't know how those gay sites popped up on our computer. Somebody must be, you know, sending us spam mail or whatever the case is. And women so desperately want to believe that that's the case because they don't want to face the truth
yeah.
that, you know, that is a problem. So that's
mm-hmm.
why I always say to women, if you really want to know if your husband's gay, you can find out because they leave a trail behind them. I don't know a gay husband who really hasn't done that. But that's not to say that, you know, and I do believe that some men haven't acted on it yet, but I do believe in time they will be acting on it, each one of them. And that, you know, seems to be the pattern, especially in this book, Over the Cliff. You'll see so many stories, and it's the same story over and over again. It's a different place and a different location. But these men were trapped, you know, religious reasons, cultural reasons, family problems, whatever the case is. They met a woman. You know, she made him feel good about himself. He thought, maybe this is the woman who can be my soulmate forever. You know, they didn't want to be gay. They didn't want to be affiliated with being gay. So they hoped that marriage could, you know, cure all those problems for them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they didn't go into these marriages with bad intentions. They really loved these women for the most part when they married them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and hoped things would work. But then when it didn't work and when their sexualities just started developing more, then they just resent the woman that they're living with. And they make her feel like she's the one at fault for their unhappiness.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things we were talking about tonight in our chat room, we were saying to women, if you feel in any way that your husband's gay and he won't admit to it, ask him to go with you for marriage counseling.
Mm-hmm.
Because guys who are gay usually will not go for marriage counseling, you know, because they don't want their secrets to come out. And they know that if they're in front of a regular therapist, you know, this is going to happen. They're going to be called on this. Do you agree with that?
Well, I still get into counseling, you know, regardless whether he goes or not, because you need it to build yourself up. You know, you need that counseling and that therapy to build yourself up. And, you know, in counseling and therapy, it's not all about saving a marriage sometimes. It really isn't. It's about strengthening each other and re-identifying what's best for each person. And that's not always to stay together.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's easier to go your own way, go through therapy before you go your own way, especially if you have children to prepare or family to prepare. If you don't know how to answer to your family and they play a strong role in your life, you know, that's where therapy comes in so well when you decide to go separate ways. So it's not just about staying together. It's about finding a peaceful way to go your separate way.
And, you know, I know it's scary, like I say, when you have little children and you don't have the financial security. And I say to women, it doesn't have to happen this minute, but you got to put a plan together so that it can happen. And, you know, those women who say, well, I don't know how my children will ever survive this. Well, they'll probably survive it much better than if you don't get divorced.
Mm-hmm.
And if they have to grow up in a household where there's unhappiness and where there's tension and crying, and knowing that you don't feel good about being where you are, and then they always feel responsible. You know, and I always say, you can't. I know, I was having dinner with a friend tonight, and she doesn't have a gay husband, but she has a husband with problems. And I said to her, you know, how long are you going to keep putting up with this? I said, you know, this is not a good marriage.
Mm-hmm.
She says, I know, but if I would leave, my daughter, you know, would be devastated. She'd be so angry at me. I said, how old is she? She said, 5 and a half. I said, well, at 5 and a half, no one should have to feel that devastated. You can't let your children of 5 years old control you.
Mm-hmm.
But she was also looking for an easy out because, you know, she doesn't want to have to handle both the children herself. She's busy working, going to school, and at least, you know, her husband helps with the children.
And don't underestimate, your children learn about relationships from you and your partner. That's what
exactly.
They learn. Have to form their relationships with their romantic partner later in life. So they're gonna repeat many of your patterns.
That's true.
Is this the pattern I want my children to repeat? You know, they may not grow up and marry someone gay, but are they going to grow up and marry or be with a partner that doesn't love them the way they should love them? Are they going to, you know, accept the crimes or accept, you know, less than what they should?
Uh-huh.
So you really have to be mindful of that. That's where we all learn about relationships. It's from our parents. We learn that, you know, whoever we grow up with, whether it be, you know, a mother, a step-parent, you know, a stepfather, whoever it is, that's where we first learn that relationship is through our parents.
So true. And that's why, you know, I have a young lady who I'm working with, and she comes from a horrible, horrible upbringing where there was a lot of sexual abuse, physical abuse, extreme, you know, mother who was a crack addict, you know, she had everything going against her, and, you know, she was horribly, you know, injured through life. And I said to her, if you don't understand about learned behavior, you are going to repeat this with your daughter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you may think that you won't, but I think that as parents, we all have life experience when we're younger, and we say, when I have children, I would never do that with them or never bring them up that way or never do anything to hurt them. And yet, learned behavior always works in the sense that you know you react automatically the same way that you were treated when something happens.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to her, if you can't, you know, learn to distinguish that and separate it, you'll do the same thing. She goes, you're right, I am doing it now. She said, I'm saying things to my daughter that I don't, you know, I don't know why I'm saying them, you know. I said, because they just come to your mind the way it did to your mother. You don't have time to think. You just react. And, I mean, that in itself is just such a big undertaking to change your learned behavior. But when children see this, they're repeating exactly what they see in you. When you're, you know, whatever you're doing. So I always say you're the legacy you're leaving your children behind. Or you're leaving for your children. And if you don't have a happy relationship, what makes you think that they're going to?
You're the teacher. You're the teacher of your relationship. Truly are.
That's right. So I think it's so important to women to really do some deep soul searching and get some real help, you know, when you're in that situation, because you don't want this to be the legacy for your children. You know, women bring children into this world supposedly loving them in almost all cases, you know, looking forward to, you know, searching through life with their children to bring them the happiness they deserve. And the happiness isn't going to be there if they see that you're crying all the time and you're not happy and there's something wrong and your marriage isn't a normal type of marriage. You know, and I know people can adapt to everything, but why should children have to adapt to an unhappy life when they don't have to?
I agree. Completely.
I think that's our best words for tonight for our audience on a Super Bowl night, that you have to try to fight just like those Giants were fighting for that crown. You know, it's a battle and it is a fight. Nothing comes easy in life. You know, we make decisions. Decisions are mistakes. We go in with good intentions into these marriages, but the marriages are broken and they can't be fixed. And it's all a matter of what you're willing to live with and what you're willing to settle for. And if women are willing to settle for this or willing to live with it, I certainly don't, you know, judge you at all. You know, we all live, you know, the way we want to.
Absolutely.
But if you feel you deserve more or you want better or you can do better, then that's what we're here for, to give you that continued support and to show you that there is a life after that. You know, it was so nice that I got a really nice letter. I'm going to end this for our show for tonight. And this is from a woman who I haven't talked to in many, many years. And she said, hi, Bonnie. Being the new year, I've reflected back and thoughts of you. I remember way back in the beginning when my husband came out, oh, perhaps 14 years ago, you came into my life and helped me through it all. You said at one time that I would look back on all that and would have a wonderful, fulfilling life. Well, I'm here to tell you that you were right. At the darkest times, I could not see that would be true. Here's the funny part. As you might remember, we both moved to Arizona. He's had his own life and home. No, there's no one in his life. The gay world is very cruel. No one wants an older man, and he doesn't have he doesn't have a lot of money. It's sad but true. I am in a 2.5-year relationship with a wonderful man. I met him over the bridge table at our recreational center here. He is 6 years younger, funny, wonderful, and silly. He is even good friends with my ex-husband. We play bridge 2 times a week with my brother. We're all together on holidays and family events. When I explain that to my new friends here, they look at me and think, well, that's a very different arrangement. I've told most of my friends here about him, my ex-husband. This being a very conservative place, I've been selective in who I tell. My boyfriend and I just returned from an 11-day cruise from the Caribbean. How romantic. I thought, look at what I missed for all those years. This is how life should be. Oh, well, I have it now and enjoy every minute. How's everything going for you? Thanks so much for all your support. Keep in touch if time permits. So I was really happy. You know, I haven't heard from this woman in many, many years. And you know, when she was going through all this, and it was so heartbreaking for her because her, she and her husband were best friends.
Mm-hmm.
But I said, best friends is not what a marriage is about, you know. And he was having boyfriends and running back to her, and I said, you have to stop taking him back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're never going to be happy as long. And I said, you're never going to give yourself a chance to find someone. And, you know, she's no youngster either. She's, you know, over middle age. And she said, what chance do I have? You know, I've been married 30, 40 years or whatever it was at that time. She said, nobody's going to want me. But as you can see from her letter, somebody 6 years younger did want her.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And she didn't take that chance and move on. She would never find the happiness that she has now. So I always say, Misty, you can tell me if you think this is right or wrong. There are no guarantees in life. But the one guarantee you can tell people is that if you stay married to a gay husband, you're never going to find the happiness you deserve.
I know that's that was true for my life. I can answer for myself. If I would still be in with my ex-husband now, I wouldn't want to think what my life would be like. I really wouldn't. That would be beyond depressed.
Exactly. Mine too. I would have missed out on so many wonderful things.
I'm so grateful for the direction my life is headed in. I'm so grateful to be who I am. I'm so grateful to be through that marriage and have that over with, divorced and coming to my own life. And, it, you know, it doesn't happen overnight. It truly doesn't. But, you know, the healing just began. It began immediately for me. It truly did. And I'm so grateful for where I am today.
Well, I'm so grateful who you are too, Misty. That's why I love
Thank you. And I love you. That's why I love you, too.
Thank you. So we're going to say goodnight to all of our listeners.
Mm-hmm.
Remember,
goodnight.
There's always support out there. You don't have to feel like you're alone. You can always join our support chat. Also, get my newsletters. Also, listen to this show. Just keep connected, because the more connected you keep, the less alone that you'll feel and the less isolated you'll be. So until next week, when we'll be doing our Valentine's episode, Misty, I'll let you say goodnight.
Good night, and love to all.
Same here. Good night, and we'll be here with you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.